Jim phoned out the lassie, hied her through to the room, leaving Irma there to greet. Jock Dow rode over to Kilbog to take the word to Peter Bruce that his brother was dead, and Will Gilchrist rode to Woodside to let Minnie's Uncle Jim ken, so that all Grandma Bruce could hear the news for her son, for it would hit her hard so soon after the death of her ain man, Martha. Young Matty come home from Strathbogie College, full of the news that he'd won a bitten medal for Latin, to be told that he might just lay by his books and his medal and his Latin, for he wouldn't have been needing none of them again. He was 14 years old of an age when his peers were working, and knew that his father was dead. He would hate to work tea, to keep a roof over his mother's head and bread on the table. Peter Bruce's wife, Mysie, and Jim's wife, Nan, come over to help with that next milking, for whether or no a farmer dies, his beasts must be fed and watered and milked, peer breeds. It wasna their wight it had happened, though some might argue it was, seeing an ale and shelt had brought the whole thing about in the first place. It was the first night since ever that Minnie could mind that her mother had not seen the bean came to her heed, to rug the tousles into her long brown hair to check for fear of flecks pick it up for the quarter bairns. It was a Saturday, so there'd been nae squeal that day, and there'd been nae squeal the morn. Mysie Bruce put her arms round Minnie and Matty's shoulders and led them bay into the best room, the een looking over the kale yard, with the Bruce's corn parks rocks in a hinnet, and the scrubby bit of a knowe for the Davies's grazed their stots rising up ahin it. The aunts had been busy a' evening, washing Minnie's feather and dressing him in his Sabbath suit, even doon to blackening his sheen upon the pit amount his feet. The Ledrick's jiner had aye a twa or three kists at the back of his shoppy, for Death was a steady customer, and Minnie's Uncle Peter had harnessed the shelt to the cart, but on the shelving and gone over to Ledrick's to choosing a stout oak kist. Some mithers the jiner was still working on the lettering for the brass plaque that he'd nailed in the lid a been before it was hammered down. The best room was shining like a new brain, for the quarter wives had been in and cleaned it and stuck it to coal pail with coal. And the glass jugs were bodies of flowers, though there was little a nuke in the way of flowers in April, for by twa three early daffs. Dr. Henderson T. had been back. He might as well have written the death certificate out the first time he come yon day, Meg Ramsay said, for he money kent that it wouldn't belong or ain would be soft. "You can see your feather now," Aunt Mysie told the bairns. "Aye's troubles are o'er. You mun kiss his brow and pay your respects to the deed." Minnie gied o'er first, teetin' o'er the side of the kist to look down in the face of the man for begot her. His een were steeked with twa pennies, his hands folded afore him in his lap. He'd been shaved, his hair had been washed and combed for buys the pennies. He must have been getting ready to gang to the kirk. Jod, he would be gone to the kirk 3 days for noo and Tuesday east, but nae to lead the singing. Never again to lead the singing. She bowed over the side of the kist and touched his brow with her lips, but she didn't greet. After a', her father had told her he'd gone to mak a hame for Minnie and himsel. A day, he was coming back for her. She'd a bide strong to look after Matty and her mither. Matty, though, bubbled in grat when he saw his father's corpse. His folk were gay come out that the loon should tuck his father's death so hard for the niver kent that Matty was greeting for, nae for his father but his books, and his friends and his future that wouldna be coming to pass, nae noo, nae ever. Matty Bruce had dreamt of being a lawyer, a doctor, a professional chiel with a fine house in the toon and letters to his name. Instead he'd been trailed back to the clart and trachle of the firm that both fed and scunnered him. Aunt Mysie put her arms round her niece and nephew and pushed them over to their mother, for I was slumped in a chair at the fireside, her een swallowed to greet him. "Tuck your twa bairns in here, Bosie Sally. At least you've something to mind him be." Uncle Peter had poured Sally Bruce out a stiff dram, the nearest thing to medicine ever keep it in the farmhouse. It sorted a thing for kink horse to teethick. Maybe that was fit made her say it, maybe it wasna. She took off her shawl and pulled Matty over to her bosie. She pushed Minnie away. I dinna winter. Matty's a' the family I need noo. She mun gang to her granny Bruce in the toon, e'en saw things over wi. Mysie Bruce raised her eyebrows at John, and her sister-in-law explained for her. and Granny has a fine house near to a gweed squeal. So little bit texted, Steenhillock, I've nothing to offer her here. Gweed be here, she can aye come home weekends with a dairy cart. Aunt Mysie took many a wa and made her a mug of hot tea and spread her a scone with butter and brummel jelly. Upstairs, Quenny, and sleep. Your ma's near sail just now. Our thing will seem better in the morning. Upstairs and steek your innies. Simony climbed the stairs and knelt at the side of her bed as she did, and said her prayer, thy will be done, and lay down with Betsy and her bosie, worn out by all that had happened on day, for it didn't seem real to the queen that she'd never see her da again this side of kingdom come. Next morning, when she wakened, Betsy had vanished, and though she hunted the hale house for her, she wasn't to be seen. A doll, is that all she has to fash about, and her feather lying deed the unnatural wee vratch her mother railed? But Matty Bruce got a bit smirk, and sidled up at Henny's sister to whisper in her log. For now was a bairn, a spark as a bairn, I kent as a bairn, I thought as a bairn. But when I become a man, I put awa a bairn fearless. You're a big quine new sister, you winna be needin' a dolly there in the tune.